Okay. All right, let's go ahead and find our seats. We'll get into God's Word this morning. We've been singing about the Lord. We've been praising the Lord, praying to the Lord. We're going to listen to His Word this morning. Good morning. Good morning. We've been singing to the Lord, praying to the Lord, worshiping our Lord and God, and we're going to get into His Word this morning. Let's just jump right in. Let's just jump right in. Go ahead and start this morning by having you open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Go ahead and open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. What the verses we'll be looking at this morning in chapter 2 here are going to be 19 through 22. Go ahead and grab your outline. Just give kind of a heads up on your outline there. I'm going to only use the backside of the outline for today's teaching from God's Word. And kind of keeping everything together there as we've been going through this topical teaching on answering the question of what is the Christian life? As we begin, let me focus our thoughts as we finalize our study of the one of the things that we've been talking about, and that's our union with Christ. It's a tremendous reality, if you think about it with me, for the life of the believer and for the life of the church collectively, that our very lives are in union with the Lord in everything. It's an amazing reality if you think about it. All of us have the Lord to follow, the Lord to walk with, the Lord to depend upon, the Lord to represent us to God. And the Lord cannot leave us, for as much as we are in union with Him, He's in union with us. Spurgeon said of this reality, let me read a quote that Spurgeon said. He said that my soul swims in happiness, that it dives in seas of inconceivable delight and contentment by the reason of its union with Christ. He went on to say that therefore I lay aside all my cares, dismiss my fears and murmurs no more, for such a glorious destiny awaits those united to Christ in the day of its completeness. I believe we all agree with that. I think we all in our heart know that Christ in you, the hope of glory, is the foundation to all of our contentment. David Platt said of this reality, listen to what he said. He said, the message of Christianity is stunning, and it is. It's stunning for the forgiveness that we have in Christ. It's stunning for the grace given to us. But listen to what he says here. He says, Jesus died for you so he might live in you. Jesus doesn't improve your old nature. He imparts to you an entirely new nature, one that he is completely united to His. That's the new life that we have in Christ, what we've been looking at, what we've been exploring for a few weeks. It's amazing reality. A few weeks that we've been digging into this, the nature of our lives being in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe the best verse would be the one that Ray brought up in the pastoral prayer today that describes this union was Galatians 2:20. Let me read it again because it really does describe in the best way our union with the Lord. Here the Apostle Paul is talking about his union. Paul said of himself with Jesus Christ, I have been crucified with Christ. That's so I died to sin, died to self, risen in a new life, right? And then he says, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. That's the same thing for you and the same thing for me and the same thing for all of us. This is our life in union with Christ. It is no longer just us living in this mortal life. It's Christ lives in us, and we walk with Christ. We follow Christ. We depend upon the Lord. All the things that we've been looking at, it's been an amazing journey as we've been going through all of this. Our understanding of our union with Christ, listen, is vital to our lives. It's vital to our choices. It's vital to our perseverance and sanctification. Our life being in union with Christ is vital to our marriage. It's vital to our raising of our children. It's vital to the life of the church. You could just say vital, period. That's why we've been spending time in this, for us to understand our union with the Lord. From Scripture, we have these four metaphors. They're in your outline there. on the backside from God to help us understand the nature of our union with Christ. We've looked at two of them so far. We're going to look at the last two today. Kind of pull it all together here. Just set it in our heart and mind for us to have this understanding, this knowledge, this knowing from God's word, from the scriptures of our relationship with the Lord. The first one we looked at was from John 15. You don't need to turn there, where Jesus teaches that our union with Christ is like a vine and its branches. We've looked at that. We've talked all about that, where Jesus said in verse 4 and 5, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me." He's speaking the union with him. That's what Christ is talking about. "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing." Just as a branch depends upon the vine for life, for strength, for sustenance, so also does the believer depend upon their union with Christ for all spiritual nourishment and growth. We looked at all of that, dug into all of that. We are destitute of any spiritual vitality unless we remain connected to the Lord. We are forever connected in union with the Lord by the power of God, divine power of God, but this is in our relationship aspect of being in union with Christ, of us abiding, remaining, dwelling in, living in, walking with, following. It's that idea that Jesus is talking about in our choices and our decisions to embrace and to acknowledge our union with the Lord. That every day to choose to walk with the Lord, seeing that our lives are dependent upon His way, His truth, His life, according to Scripture. That's what He's talking about. And for us to recognize that He's the vine, we're the branch. And that as we live this life, recognize that I need the vine, I need the source, I need the resource, I need the dependence upon. This is the nourishment, this is the life. That's why God put our lives in union. That's why it was God's design. He didn't say, get saved, go live your own life. He said, get saved, follow Christ, embrace Christ, dwell with Christ, live with Christ. Christ is life. And that's what we were looking at in all of that, understanding our union with the Lord. Secondly, we looked at the metaphor of marriage from Ephesians 5:22-32. Marriage speaks of the intimacy of our union with Christ. The one flesh union of a husband and wife is personal. We know that. It's personal, the one flesh union of us with the Lord. We are the bride of Christ, the church. He's the groom. He's married us. He's embraced us. He's sanctifying us. He's doing all things he would do for his bride. It's a personal, relational aspect of it, just like a marriage. One goes through, the other goes through. It's a life joined together is what we are grabbing hold of, and what we're learning in that metaphor of what our relationship of being in union with Christ. It's glued together, it's cemented together, it's going to be for eternity. Marriage is a relationship built upon love and respect and honor and submission and leadership for the good of the whole. That's what marriage is built upon, for the glory of the Lord. And if you build your marriage or make your marriage or live your marriage in anything other than respect and love and honor and submission and leadership for the good of the whole of the marriage to give glory to the Lord, you've missed the point of marriage. So the metaphor pointing that you missed the point of the bride of Christ if you don't embrace what God is talking about of your union with the Lord. Ephesians 5 tells us that our marriages are to reflect Christ's relationship with the church. The church is the bride of Christ. Our union with him is like a bride to a groom. What we go through, he goes through with us. And he's always loving his bride. He's always nourishing his bride. He's always maturing us for his glory, not ours. As we walk in submission to his godly leadership joined together forever with the Lord. That's the nature of our union with Christ. That's what we dug into the first two. We're to know that. We're to understand that. We're to see that in our life. Wait a minute. We're the bride of Christ. One of the gentlemen in the church brought up to me last week about that. No, there's not a bunch of brides of Christ. There's one, Christians, believers, like one body of Christ. But in our service and our worship and our life, this is the church family. God gave us to be a part of, so we can see that we're responsible in this room for this body of Christ, for this church family, for this bride of Christ, on how we embrace the groom or the head, as we'll look at later. This is the life. We have new life, and that new life is in union with Christ, and we're wanting to understand the depth of what that means, the nature of our life being in union with Christ. So we're going to look at two more today, just briefly. Kind of got convicted just, you know, thinking about, you know, I could keep breaking these down, and we could do 9 weeks and that kind of thing. But no, you know, just, okay, let's put this together. Let's simulate this in our mind and heart. Let's get this to where these four metaphors really speak to our heart. God could use his word in our heart and mind about what the nature of our being in union with Christ looks like. And we embrace that, and we accept that, and we pursue what God wants us to understand through that, and it blesses our life, and we honor the Lord. So let's grab them kind of together today and just let the truth of God's word really just flow through our heart and mind about this vitalness of our union with Christ and the nature of it. Let's look at these last two metaphors that really grow our understanding of all of this. First, the union of a building to its foundation. That's in Ephesians 2, verse 19 through 22. So this metaphor, this is what it is. There's a foundation and there's a building being built upon it. Those things have a connection. They have a union, right? Jesus said in Matthew 7, if you build your life upon the sand and not upon the truth of God's word, when the storm comes, it blows, it falls. We understand foundations. We understand buildings, right? Amen? We get it. We understand this. And so it's a metaphor. This is for us to understand the nature of our union with Christ. That's what's being taught here. That's what's here. That's what we're going to look at, this metaphor, and this is what we're pulling out of it. There's a lot here, but this is what we're pulling out of it. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. Look at this with me. Here the Apostle Paul uses this metaphor to teach us on this nature of this union. He says this, verse 19, so then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you also are being built together in the dwelling of God in the Spirit. Dwelling of God in the Spirit. Now, you get it, right? You see there, right? You see household, you see buildings, right? You see fitly framed or building together. You see that it's a metaphor about a building, isn't it? That's what we're, and this is going to help us understand the nature of the union that we have with the Lord. Fellow citizens, we'll look at that later in messages as we look at our citizenships in heaven. But here Paul says that all believers are part of God's household. We're the children of God. We are belong to the household of God. But we're like a building. Even 1 Corinthians 3, 9 says we are God's building. So God's household, God's building has been built. Having been built, you see it's in the text, having been built, it's being built, it's a perfect present participle, means a past action with continual results, having been built with continual actions of being built. That's what God's word is saying. Look at verse 20, having been built. Okay, so it's being built, it has been built, it's being built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. So you got a building, you got a foundation. The apostles and prophets here refers to the divine revelation they taught concerning the truth of Christ. That's what it refers to. We didn't build a foundation of the church on a prophet or an apostle. It was built on Jesus Christ, amen? And him alone, right? 1 Corinthians 3:10 says it this way. Paul said this, no man can lay a foundation other than the one that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. God built that foundation on the truth of Christ, on the reality of Christ, on the salvation of Christ, on the work of Christ. He's the cornerstone. Everything is angled off of him, but it's built upon the truth of him. There's no church, no God's church, no holy church, no church that belongs to Christ that isn't built upon Jesus Christ, period. Amen. But we're looking at a building and a foundation in our relationship. Your life is built upon Jesus Christ, period. Your union with Christ. Anything happen in your life, anything being built in your life, anything being raised in your life, anything being, come on guys, how many times do we got to fix our house, right? who's got honeydews this week about fixing the plumb and fixing the door, fixing the thing, right? God, Christ, needs to work on this me, my house, this body of Christ, right? The foundation to it all is Him and Him alone. Your union with the Lord is the foundation to it all. And Him alone. It's a foundation and a building. It's not built upon any other thing. Jesus is the foundation, is the cornerstone of the building, referring to us. We're the building. Look at verse 21. In whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple of the Lord. In whom? In Him. In Jesus Christ. In whom? In the foundation. You see the metaphor again, in union with Christ. It's in Him. It's in whom? In Christ, referring to our union with Him. It's a metaphor referring to the building, to the foundation. Those in Christ, those united with Christ. What does it say? Are being fitted together. It's growing into the holy temple of the Lord. It's a building metaphor, right? Fitted together. They're being fitly framed together like a building being built. It's being fitted together. You're here for a reason. God brings about His body of Christ. He brings about His building, His church. He's in union with it. Christ is building His church. He's fitly framing it together. All of our strangeness is so the building fits together. All of our uniqueness and all of our gifts and all of those things, God's at work in union with Christ. He's building the building. He knows you. He knows me. We're all part of what He's building. That makes sense? This is the dynamic. This is you to understand the nature of your union with the Lord. You are part of the building project. Are you embracing that in your life? Are you seeing your life that way? Are you recognizing that that's my life in union with the Lord? The Lord's building His building. He's building a church, fitly framing it together. Similar to what Peter said in 1 Peter 2, we are like living stones. We're alive because of Christ, and that Jesus is building up. He's building it up into a spiritual house. He's taking the rocks, he's placing them and putting mortar right there, and He's building. It's fitly framed. It's becoming the what God is wanting to build it into. Jesus builds through salvation and sanctification. Paul says in our text, the building is growing. Doesn't it say that in the text? The building's growing. I guess we're adding an outside room or extra room or a second floor or... I want you to get the building and the foundation, but it's only built on the foundation. It doesn't go outside the foundation. It's just from the foundation up, Christ being the cornerstone, our life in union with Him. He's building His church through salvation and sanctification. He's building your life, working in your life through you becoming more like Him. This is the truth of God's Word. It's growing. It's not stagnant. It's not dead. It's keep going. The church grows, the building grows through salvation and sanctification. And it says, into a holy temple in the Lord. It's united with the Lord. It's in the Lord. Us in the Lord are being fitly framed into a holy temple. You see the building metaphor? Well, that's your relationship with your union with Christ. Some remodeling done when He reveals some things in your life. And there's some additions going on built upon Him of you becoming more like Him. This is the metaphor. Look at verse 22. In whom you are being built together into a dwelling of God and the Spirit. You see the union here, don't you? Our life's in union with Him. And because our life's in union with Him, my life's in union with you and you with me and us with us as much as it is with Christ. As much as it is with Christ, by divine power, by a divine work, not by our choice, not by our decisions, not by our want-tos or our embracing, by the divine power of God. He's made us one in union with one another like we are in union with Christ, and He's building His body, His temple, His building into a dwelling together. We're being built together. It's in Him. In whom? Those in Christ. So in our union with Christ, Jesus is at work through our sharing the gospel to build a building, and Jesus is at work through our living for Christ to sanctify us, to build up His building and we are being built, matured into a dwelling of God. I want to know, do you see the oneness that he has for Christians in what I just shared? Do you see the oneness that he's talking about, the oneness you have with Christ? There's nobody that can go to Scripture and say, you know, I can just live with the Lord, I can walk with the Lord, and I don't need the church family, I don't need the building, you know, this in the metaphor here. I don't need to be part of the branches. I don't need to be part of the bride. I don't need to be part of the body of Christ. That's hogwash. It doesn't work in Scripture. Because as much as your life is in union with Christ, he puts you in union with the body of Christ, the church family, the bride of Christ, the branches. That's his design, not our choice. We just embrace whatever his design is. This is important for us to see, important for us to understand. Since you are in union with Christ, you are in union with his building, his church. It's right there in the text. You're to be embracing the building project. He's going to build us together. What you do here matters. Because you are union with Christ, it matters to us in union with Christ. I want you to look at it this way. Let me give you a little illustration. Can you imagine being a partner, a working partner, two of you? We got some farmers here. They get this. We got some business people. They get us. Working partner, two guys, two gals, whatever it is, and say, hey, we're going to have this business. We're going to work together. We're going to work hard. We're going to build this building. We're going to build it. And then one of them say, no, I'm not going to participate, but I'm a partner. Does that work? Well, you're a partner in the building program, church. According to divine power, according to your union with Christ. He's building us together. We're to participate, to use the two metaphors that we've been looking at here, two of them. You're not abiding in the vine if you're not embracing the building of his church. You can't say, I'm embracing the vine, I'm the branch. I'm abiding in him, he's going to do the things because I can't do anything on my own. If you're not embracing the building of the church, you're not embracing the vine. And he builds through salvation and sanctification, sanctification of others, and sanctification of you. Walking with Christ and building up his church go hand in hand. That's the nature of the union. Last metaphor as we look at this today to help us understand the nature of our union is a union of the head to the body. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 1, 18 through 23. I just kind of stated Ephesians here. Now, we know the body of Christ is a huge metaphor through Scripture. Let me just give you the simple, straight-up kind of look at it and try not to get all way out there and everything, but we understand a body, right? We all understand a body, right? I got an arm over here, got a leg, got an arm, leg, we got necks, we got the ears, we got eyes. I look at it. The head is Christ, and we are the body. We are from here down. There's nobody in the church family, ever been in the church family other than Jesus Christ, that's the head. He's like the foundation, right? It's like the cornerstone, okay? This is the metaphor. There's nobody that's from here up in the church. So, you know, when we say eyes and ears, that kind of thing, there's nobody that's the brains of the operation, okay? He's the brains of the operation. We're just the body, right? Let me ask you, if your brain ain't working, how's your body doing? Right? Right? If your brain's having a hard time, boy, I can't think, man, I don't know where I'm going. I'm falling down. I don't know where I'm wandering around, all that kind of stuff, right? Christ knows what's going on. His brain's always working. He's the head, we're the body. That's what we want to get, the metaphor. This is our union with the Lord. I already gave some of it away. He's the brains. We're in this union. I'm just the arms, legs, feet, all those kind of things. Look what Paul said in Ephesians 1, 18. And I went to all back to 18 just because this is where we're praying, because God wants you to know. He wants you to understand the Christian life. And he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe, These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and all authority and all power and all dominion and every name that's to be named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. And he, that's God, put all things in subjection under Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ's feet, the one that you're in union with. And he gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. What an incredible passage. What an amazing passage to look at. The church is from here down, the fullness of Christ. He's the head, we're the body. There's much I could say here, but I want to quote from Pastor MacArthur. Just a little quote here to really just kind of capture the truth that's here. And for us to understand this metaphor in our union with Christ, MacArthur says of this, most importantly, as far as believers are concerned, God gave Christ Jesus as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Christ not only is the head of the church, but its fullness. Since he has such a unique and intimate relationship with the redeemed who he loves, all his power will be used in their behalf to fulfill his loving purpose for them. He is completely over us and completely in us, our supreme Lord and supreme power. The church is the fullness or complement, pleremo in the Greek, of Christ. As the head must have the body to manifest the glory of the head, so the Lord must have the church to manifest his glory. Our union with him and our union with one another, he made that to glorify him, to manifest his glory. God decided that. He didn't need to do that. He doesn't need us for his glory. But he chose to use his body to display his glory. And as a physical body works together to glorify the head, we are to also to work together to glorify our Christ. He's the head. This is this union we're talking about, the nature of it. This is the nature of the union that we have with Christ and the nature of the body of Christ. Our union with Christ is like a body to a head. We are to manifest the glory of the head, function for the purpose of the head. The Lord's is the brain of this outfit. And we function for the purpose of the head. It's written in Scripture what the head would want us to live like and live for and be about and what to do and what we're, how we're to be with one another. It's about him directing our lives. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Don't follow Paul as he follows Paul. That's why you hold your elders accountable to following Christ, to being biblical about the things you do, because we're following Christ. The head, the brains of the organization, is guiding the body, teaching the body for its purpose from the head, just like yours, which leads your body, or which leads your life, your body or your brains? Are you sure? Sometimes when that body's hurting, it seems like that body's just leading my whole life. I can't get up. I can't do that kind of thing, right? But through Christ, through our union with Christ, through the truth of God's word, we can overcome the physical by the truth of God in our mind and heart, the brain, right? To make a choice to live, even if the body doesn't want to live the right way. The brains are always leading the body. The body is representing what the brain, the head, wants to represent. Turn to Ephesians 4. Let's just go a little bit farther in the body and the head metaphor. Ephesians 4, verse 15 and 16. I want you to look at this. Last thing we'll look at here just to kind of grab this. Look at verse 15. Paul writing, this was read at opening of the service this morning. Thank you, Josh, for reading that and sharing your heart on that. He's talking about that Christ gave to the church and for the equipping of the saints until we grow and mature. So we don't get tossed around, but look at verse 15. He says, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. So this is us again, the church. Jesus is in union with the body and he's the head. You know, he always speaks the truth in love by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the work of the Holy Spirit, illuminating the word of God. He always speaks the truth in love to those in union with him. He always speaks the truth in love with those in union with him. He always speaks the truth in love with those in union with him. He only speaks what the word of God says. He doesn't say outside what the word of God says. The enemy does that. The enemy says, did God say that? No, your head, the head to this body is only going to speak the truth in love. So we grow up into all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. For the body to grow up into all aspects, we are to do the same. Why are we do the same? To mature in Christ-likeness. That's why we talk to each other. That's why we say things to each other. That's why we speak the truth of God. That's why we speak what Christ, the head of us, would tell us in our lives as his body, representing him in this world, what his truth is. Why we got to tell you and share with you in love the truth of God, because that doesn't honor the Lord. That doesn't get you saved. That isn't what God says is true. Not all roads lead to heaven. I'm sorry. I'm going to speak the truth in love because I represent the head that says it's him as the only way and the truth of the life. Because that's all I'm here to do is represent what the head wants to say. I'm just the body. I don't have anything from here up. I'm just the body. This is my union with Christ. This is our union with each other. We're just the body. Hey, leg, we got to act like a leg. This isn't right. You can't act like you're the brains. I want you to grab this because we're in union. This is what God is saying. This is the metaphor for us to understand our union with Christ. Look at verse 16. From whom? There you go again. It's from him. It's in him. It's from him, from your union with him. It's never outside of that. It's never from you. It's never from us. It's always from him. Because our union with him, it's from him. From whom the whole body being fitted and held together by whatever joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building of itself in love. Did you get what he said? From the Lord Jesus Christ, the head, instructing our lives through the word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, instructing the whole body, the church, as we embrace our part, the part of the body that we are, whatever that God has us to be, the Lord Jesus causes the maturing of the body, the building up of us up in love. This is the union between the head and the body. The church are members of Christ's body. Colossians 2:19 says it this way. We are to be holding fast to the head because from the head, the entire body is being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. All we're to encourage all of us to do is, amen, hang on to Jesus. That's not the word of Jesus. That's not the way of Jesus. How about a marriage? Let's take that. Two people? Let's just hang on to the head. Let's just hang on to the Lord. Let's just grab hold of who he is, why he came, what he did. He'll cause growth. What, you don't think he will? The problem is, was in my marriage, I thought I was the head. Well, that doesn't work, right? Right? Doesn't work in a church. I'm not the head. I'm just a teaching pastor that God has called to do my part. I do my part for you. You do your part for me. There's no big people, little people. There's just body parts, right? This is our union with the Lord. To finish up today, let's remember the strongest implication to all these truths that we're looking at our life in union with Christ is our identity. You live in this life on that identity. The world looks at you this way. People look at you that way. The church people look at you this way. Tall, short, fat, funny looking, all the things that we got going on as human beings. And we read a book by its cover and all that kind of stuff. But our identity is in Christ. That's what we're working to. I've had it weeks on there. Hey, are you working on? The question is finding your core identity in Christ. We want to get our identity in Christ. This is the strongest implication to this truth that our life's in union with the Lord. That's who I am. That's who I'm going to identify as. I'm going to, right? I'm glad we work hard, and people say that's a hard worker, a man of integrity, and all those kind of things. You need to be all of that, but it's only because of Christ. It's only because of the head, because if you didn't have Christ as your head, straight to hell is where you're going, regardless on how you live. So in anything that you live righteously, anything that you live rightly, say, it's the head's fault, man. He's the brains of this. I'm just trying to serve him. That makes sense? That makes sense? That's the humility God wants us to have in this union, the humbleness that this is. I'm glad we live the Lord. I'm glad you have all of these wonderful things about your life, all these gifts and talents and all those kind of things, but you're just the body parts. They're all from him. And your life's in union with him, and we're in union with one another. And our identity is in Christ, isn't it? As believers, we have the Lord Jesus to follow, to walk with, to abide in, like branches to a vine. He is the source and the strength to all that we live for and live like. We are his bride, and he is our groom. There is a oneness of relationship, a great spiritual union of being joined together to him and him to us. And he will love and nourish and cleanse his bride as we respect and honor him in submission to the groom. We are the household of God. He is the foundation to all that is built. Jesus will build his church. We are part of the building and play a part in the building program. We are the body of Christ. Jesus is the head, directing the life of his body for us to grow up in all aspects into him, to represent his life to this world. This vital union with Christ is our identity in this world that God wants to be. This vital union with Christ is to be our identity in this world. It is who we are in this world. We are to live as our identity is in Christ, whether they recognize it or not. For the Lord identifies that you are. Isn't that good? That's our identity. We're all thankful for the gifts you have and the things you do, but we're not identified by what we do well or don't do well. We're identified in who God is in our life, as we are united with Christ, living as his bride, his body, his branches, his building. This is God's plan for his church and us being united with him. Answer those three questions this week if you have time. Put them on your heart, on your identity. We'll get more next week as we move from to the next thing, what the Christian life is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. We're all just overwhelmed in gratitude for what you have done in our life. Just the truth of what this is, of our lives being united with Christ, united to one another. Jesus said, I won't leave you alone. I'll send you the Holy Spirit, which he's going to be the Spirit of Christ. I won't leave you orphans. I'll come to you. He's with us through the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the Lord that is with us. He is with all of us, and then he's given each one of us. He's given us to each other. I don't know, Lord, I don't know how anybody, well, I know how they do it, but I don't know why you would do it, not want to live life with a church family, to embrace each other, to love each other, to cry with, to rejoice with, to help each other in the lives that we have, all for your glory, for the whole. It's for the whole. It's not for individuals. It's for the whole. And if we'll care about the whole, you'll be glorified. We know that's true. So we thank you for our church family. Thank you for our time today in your word. In Christ's name, amen. Have a great week, you guys.